on the television program Grimm, filmed right here in Portland. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Camden Murray of the Timbers Army about TIFO displays at Portland Timbers soccer matches. TIFO displays use large banners, streamers, flares, or other visuals to inspire the fans' chosen professional soccer team. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support in our recent membership drive. We are depending on you to close that $9,237 gap when you go to KBOO.fm and click on Donate Today. Stay tuned.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is a Monday, November 12th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. It's Tuesday, indeed. And you're listening to KBOO, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. And thanks once again to all of you who participated in Membership Drive Fall 2013. It's all because of your support and your dedication that programming on KBOO has been on the air 24/7 for 45 years now. As world leaders are gathering in Warsaw to contemplate the fierce future that climate change has in store for life on planet Earth, the Philippines is providing a vision of exactly what that future might look like. And the feds have not given up on their attack on antiwar.com, as they no doubt are launching other attacks on peace groups, civil liberties groups, any challenge to the massive structure right now that is more than ever before being driven by corporate and private interests. First, the weather. Obviously, chance of showers today. Cloudy, highs around 56. And for tonight, slight chance of showers, patchy fog, otherwise overcast skies, and around the temperatures around 47. Not too windy. For tomorrow, again, slight chance of showers early on. Mostly overcast skies and a high near 55. Tomorrow and night, lows around 45. The alternative forecast, still waxing crescent moon, of course, and more from the alternative forecast tomorrow when more changes will be evident, and it'll probably be more useful to those of you who do like to look at the lunar outlook. Well, we are still trying here to talk with Kashama Samwat. She is, of course, an unstoppable candidate running for city council in Seattle. She was an avowed socialist and makes no bones about saying so. We have looked at the elections for mayor in New York and applauded the winner, who of course was proud to come out and say that he was a liberal. But Samwat has gone one further and announced that she is indeed a socialist, and she drew a healthy percentage of the vote. That is remarkable. That says a great deal from coast to coast about how the country is feeling these days, as our healthcare system has been in. If you thought it was in the clutches of the insurance industry before, wait till you see what's coming up. And she of course is contesting the results of the election. Probably that's why she is busy. But we will at some point get her on the air and talk to her about her campaign and why she sees socialism as the absolute only option at this point, that so much damage has been done to the fabric of society that we really have nowhere else to turn. It will take enormous courage to repair wounds to society, and there are very few other ways around it. Obviously, what we have known and loved in some quarters as democracy has been so corrupted and perverted and bent to the interests of pure capitalism that it no longer has any meaning whatsoever. Look around the world. Countries all across the world, the nations who were subject to the so-called Arab Spring, those countries are now contending with the reaping this grim harvest of with American democracy that we brought to them. Women's rights, just for starters, have been curtailed in draconian ways ever since American democracy came to town, and further cuts to the body politic are obviously in store. We consider first here in Cascadia what some of those cuts to the body politic look like, and where they first show up, of course, is in our prison systems. Oregon prison officials are taking a close look at over 1,000 inmates who they consider to be special threats within the state's 14 prisons. There are statistics in the State Corrections Department post monthly about the inmate population. And one of the inmates in the statistics in Oregon prisons, one in three inmates in Oregon prisons have mental health issues. And, of course, the numbers are growing. The agency that tracks these numbers, the latest inmate profile, were counted nearly 5,000 inmates who need mental health treatment immediately. That's up 17% from just 5 years ago. The Oregon State Penitentiary in Salem found that psychiatric medications were a primary form of treatment within the penitentiary for mental illness. In other words, you don't get to talk to anyone. In fact, talking to anyone might be the worst thing that a mentally ill inmate could do. Instead, they are kept under control with medicines, which are very... I don't see this in the report specifically, but the details, if you go and you beyond the news report and you look at the data that you can get this data online at you know, the government website, but it would appear that medication isn't adequately monitored. And hearsay talk from people who've been inside prisons in Oregon also attest to the fact that medications, if they are in some cases are absent, and when they're needed, and in other cases are overprescribed or incorrectly prescribed in other cases. Again, this is what I've learned from talking with former and current prisoners. The monthly profiles are posted on the agency's website without comment, but they provide a lot of details about what the population inside looks like these days. And tell you what, it's not pretty. It's always been ugly. It's getting uglier. And as we await the coming of Shamus Samant, we continue to roll through the news from around Cascadia. We promised you last week some of the ways in which listeners can kick back against the recent win up in Washington State for the genetically modified organism industry. And, of course, Monsanto and its synergy, there are many other companies, too, that are crowing proudly that they're millions of dollars campaign money paid off. They got just what they wanted. Well, you know what? Sometimes you get more than just what you want. Similar bills are coming up in Oregon, and it's a good idea to get rolling with this. The French Embassy's Department of Economic Affairs, that's responsible for monitoring and analyzing on behalf of French authorities the situation and policies relating to, well, as it goes on to say, they're responsible for deciding what gets in to France and what doesn't as far as agricultural products are concerned. The Department of Economic Affairs has three operating units, and the agricultural division, this is the one you want. The agricultural councillor is Christophe Malvezin, and the number is 202-944-6320. And you can also, there are a couple of other places that you can go to let the French know that buying agricultural products from around the Pacific Northwest is basically a crapshoot, and that the companies that produced GMOs are more and more in control. More and more of these organisms are loosed into the food chain, and that it would be a really good idea to think again before purchasing agricultural products from the region. There are a couple of other names and numbers, and I could post those on the KBOO website. Also, we can make that available to you at the front desk if you want to consider a little agricultural activism. Despite what's going on in the Philippines, which is definitely the greatest, one of the greatest tragedies that we have, in fact, engineered witlessly ourselves by plowing ahead with our dependence on fossil fuels, decade after decade, and now we are reaping the rewards of that failed program. The Philippines, of course, feeling it worse, but the phrase it can happen here indeed applies, as does the same phrase when we look at the genocide that still continues in Africa, the Congo, 6 million and counting dead, troops still in there supporting the Rwandan and Ugandan militias, despite the fact that peace is broken out, the presence of American troops in the form of AFRICOM, still a huge threat to peace in Africa, and the destabilization effort goes on apace, because a destabilized African nation is a nation which is completely at the mercy of multinational corporations. And that all of that is easily substantiated. The facts are all there. It's just that there's a whole lot of them, and we've got 15 minutes. So the possibility of peace breaking out everywhere is confronting the U.S. State Department. The U.S. State Department, as everyone knows, was never designed to negotiate a peace, only to negotiate the best possible financial positioning that can be had on behalf of American multinational corporations. And we move now to Iran. A senior Iranian official has claimed that a significant step forward has been taken place at Geneva, that of course crashed and burned recently. And Secretary of State John Kerry still insists that it's a rosy future. Unfortunately, until Israel's nukes are revealed, there will be no further discussions, because nothing more essentially can be said. We still have the FBI monitoring the antiwar.com website, and that's been going on for 6 years. Now, even with all of the talk, that will without a doubt continue. We will be speaking tomorrow with Kevin Zeese and Margaret Flowers about the failed healthcare system. And in Warsaw, it's day one of the climate talks, and an emotional opening to the new round of climate talks. Yeb Sano, the chief of the Philippines delegation, with tears rolling down his cheeks, said that he would not eat before the end of the 2 weeks of negotiations until a substantial financial deal had been done to help countries cope with the effects of climate change. This appeal was presented at the Climate Change Convention's 19th meeting after the conference had just got rolling. And Israel is distraught. Distraught, I tell you, over the fact that there actually might be peace with the Iranian people. Not something that is in the Israeli playbook in any way, shape, or form. This has been Ekeskedia for Tuesday. Tuesday, November 12th, 2013, Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for your support. And if you want to call the agricultural ministers of France, got all that information for you at the front desk.
We have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers doing everything from front desk work, janitorial work, community reporting, hosting information booths, clerical support, news writing, documentary making, engineering live music, operating soundboards, working in the music library, and many, many other things. KBOO absolutely depends on volunteers to carry out the work of the station. We are always looking for new volunteers. We have monthly volunteer orientations, which is the first step in getting involved. Contact KBOO Volunteer Coordinator Annie Haynes about the next volunteer orientation at 503-231-8032 extension 231 or at volunteer@kboo.org.
Tune in Tuesday night at 6 p.m. to Out Loud, KBOO's queer culture radio show.
Out Loud celebrates and serves the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, and allied communities.
Out Loud features interviews with local and national community groups, authors, musical talent, and anyone from the queer community.
Connect with us online at kboo.fm/outloud.